Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 26th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Well, Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including news that U.S. trade officials have booked flights to Geneva next week for a last-ditch, high-level effort to complete the ag portion of the WTO agreement. The outgoing Rob Portman will be on the plane, along with Secretary Johans. Speaking of the Bush administration, yesterday it officially announced opposition to $4 billion of proposed agricultural aid. And we'll talk with Drew Lerner today at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, we'll visit a soy foods taste testing. It is, after all, National Soy Foods Month. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolandagrienergy.com.
In Kansas City on this Wednesday afternoon, futures in the May contract for the wheat, 438 and three quarters, the settlement price there, down 3 3/4 today. May wheat in Chicago, a penny and a half lower at 348 and a half a bushel. And July futures at 361 and three quarters were down 1 3/4. From the corn pit, the May contract at 231 and a half. Settlement price there up a half. July futures up 1 cent at 243 and a quarter. September's 253 and a half were up a half. And Dease corn at 266 and a quarter for the new crop, up a half cent for the day. Soy complex now, May soybeans down 3 3/4 for the day, 575 and three quarters the settlement price. July futures at 590 were down 3 1/4, and the August contract at 595 and a half off 3 cents. November soybeans, $6.10 and a quarter, down 3 1/2. May bean meal at 172.90, down 80 cents. May bean oil at 24.77, down 01. Feeder cattle, $101.50 at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, 90 cents higher for the April contract. And the April live cattle at $80.10 were up 35 cents. Lean hogs finished the May contract at $66.52.5. They were up $1.12.5 for the day. From the outside markets, crude oil at $71.90 a barrel, down 98 in the June contract. The dollar trading at 87.23, down 11. And the silver at 12.81, off 2.55 for the day. Gold at 638.80. Up $7.80 on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, as he does every Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about this marketplace just a bit. And I want to start with acreage. I heard you discussing with Dave Dickey this morning the possibility that acreage that was released by USDA at 78 million for the corn on March the 31st simply may not be right. And that Iowa in particular, which has had a track record of putting more corn in the ground, may be the place where gains are made.
Yeah, we quickly, when I got the phone call this morning and one leading commodity man that I listen to and talk to on a regular basis called me and said, you know, our feeling is that there's a little more corn going into the ground in Iowa. And he asked me what my opinion of the acreage shift here. And, of course, the USDA talked about 700,000 acres, smaller acreage here in Illinois. And so I quickly ran to the files and, you know, the government's talking about 300,000 acres less corn in Iowa, 12,500,000 acres out there of corn, 300,000 acres below what last year's planted acreage. So if we're planting more acres, and I talked to two sources out there that indicated, yes, there could be more acres of corn out in Iowa, you know, that's conservative, about a half a million acres of corn. You know, our when we talk to people, and there might be a little patch here or there, and there might be some more corn planted. Could it be 80 million acres, 2 million more acres than the USDA? I doubt it, but we could be looking at at least a million acres more, and some of that error was, I think, on reporting, and some error in actual price encouragement with the rally we saw since the planting intentions report. Then at the noon hour, of course, the private weather people poured more water on the western Corn Belt than on the Midwest for this weekend.
So in the bottom line of this, where do you think prices might march if there's an 80 million acre corn crop in the ground by the time we get to harvest this season?
Well, of course, the one deal is that some of the people are factoring in 150 bushel average, and that's still about, a 1.45 billion bushel corn carryover. If we do sag below that, then we're going to have to buy acres just to keep the acreage or the carryover, in the manageable levels. And as a result of that, price discovery to get more corn acres for next year is in order. Our general impression is, Todd, that, there's a lot of debate between now and then, and the real thing here is that the trend, as long as it stays above this 243 level basis to July, we think the trend is still up as far as corn's concerned. The market, traded below that mark and also traded, above that mark and still closed in kind of a quiet uptrend. The debate, one could argue that if we do have 80 million acres and 150 bushels to the acre, we could see some price erosion in here on the downside, but there is a lot of growing time frame between now and harvest 2006.
Is the president's discussion about ethanol and fuels and opening, actually not opening up, but allowing less to go into the reserve, will that cool the outside markets, do you think, and as they spill into the Chicago Board of Trade as well?
Energy is the big topic on CNBC. Almost 5 to 8 different broadcasts during the day today. We're talking about the ethanol, new ethanol industry. There was a segment there of from an ethanol plant in Coon Rapids, Iowa, that had 15 or 20 trucks in line, and the new boom in that particular town that's historically known for the Gar Seed Corn Company. So, it's a very productive area, and corn is king out there. The big factor here, of course, is the general anticipation that corn is an important commodity. It's an energy commodity, and that's what's keeping this price level very strong as we go into this planting time frame.
Well, it seems to me if we say it often enough that it's an energy commodity, it might become an energy commodity, but really is it? I mean, we're looking at, 2 billion bushels, I suppose, going in?
Well, it's
out of
profit.
Out of 12.
It's the economic boom. You don't have to throw a rock until you hit the other side of Champaign there, and there's this big firm called the Anderson. A year ago, their stock was $30 a share, and I think today it's over $108 or $9 a share. So, what we're basically talking about is not only a boom for corn, but it's also a boom. It's $114 a share today. So it's a boom for employment and the economy and also a substitute of oil energy, and that's what the president talked about. That's the reason why we have $70 a barrel crude oil. And as T-Bone Pickens yesterday mentioned, he said, my wife drives a Lincoln Navigator, and I pulled up to the pump, and we put $100 of fuel in, and as a result of that, it's just too expensive to not realize that it's expensive to have fuel.
Indeed. Tell me about one other thing. This announcement came out of the Chicago Board of Trade this morning that they would start side-by-side trading electronic and open outcry August the 1st. And electronic trading has been used in the overnight since its inception. I'm wondering if this will change your job on your end. I know that some people have to come in for the overnight trade because it's the overnight trade, but does it really have an impact on your end on the electronic trade during the daytime hours?
Well, I think that, number one, it's a signal that the Chicago Board of Trade is, you know, open for business and going to basically handle a lot more volume and be able to handle more volume in a very orderly and equitable fashion. Really, I don't think there's a lot of debate about the subject. You know, it's going to be done. It's going to basically improve the order flow. And, you know, I think it's probably good for the commodity business, and that's the important deal. And really with this new shift in the marketplace to, you know, more international review and international trading, more 24 hours a day, you know, that's important to have good order flow.
And close out with me with a few comments on the soy complex.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're looking at in the soybean is, of course, the strength in the soybean oil. The general impression is we're still going to have a, you know, big world supply of beans. The big factor is that the American farmer is holding a lot more beans in storage, waiting for some kind of a either drought or rust market to improve prices. Our general impression is that we still have a bearish soybean market, but it's a tug of war in here between soybean oil, soy diesel, and just strong price values here over the next last 15 to 20 days and probably the next 30 days.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region tonight calls for mostly clear skies. Lows will be between 35 and 40 tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 60 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast for the two-state region Friday, increasing cloudiness, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms arriving in Illinois. Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny with some showers and thunderstorms. Highs Friday in the 60s north with the 70s elsewhere. Highs Saturday and Sunday, mostly in the 60s. Lows Friday evening on the 40s. Lows Saturday and Sunday will range from the 40s in the north to the 50s in the south. In just a few moments, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, will join us with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, top U.S. trade officials will go to Geneva next week to help work out differences in the Doha round of agriculture trade negotiations. The U.S. team will include outgoing U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman, Deputy Trade Representative Susan Schwab, Portman's nominated successor, and USDA Secretary Mike Johans. The Bush administration late yesterday officially announced its opposition to $4 billion of farm disaster aid in the Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Bill. A statement of administration policy on the issue says this: the final version of the legislation must remain focused on addressing urgent national priorities while maintaining fiscal discipline. President Bush says Americans are being hurt by high fuel prices, but there is no immediate relief in sight.
Gasoline price increases are like a hidden tax on the working people. They're like a tax on our farmers. They're like a tax on small businesses. Energy prices are, energy experts predict gas prices are going to remain high throughout the summer, and that's going to be a continued strain on the American people. And so the fundamental question is, what are we going to do? What can the government do?
Bush made his remarks before the Renewable Fuels Association National Convention yesterday. Bush called for a temporary waiver of clean fuel blending requirements and deferred deposits into the nation's emergency oil reserve. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin harshly criticized the president's record on funding for alternative fuels research. Harkin said, and this is a quote, "We must make critical investments significantly beyond what the president proposes in his budget if we are to achieve what he talked about." And Illinois Senator Dick Durbin did not pull any punches either. Durbin says high fuel costs could drive ag producers in Illinois out of business.
Last year, many of our farmers went through a drought, and that cut their farm income. This year, net farm income is expected to drop by 20% nationwide because of high energy prices. Fertilizer costs expected to go up about 40%. Fertilizer prices and diesel fuel, when you add these things together, are going to cause a great hardship to a lot of farm families. Many of the president's suggestions today are good long-term ideas, but in the long term, a lot of farm families may not survive.
According to Durbin, President Bush should pressure oil companies into returning some of their record-high profits to consumers by reducing prices at the pump.
First, this president needs to call in the oil company executives. He's from Texas. He knows a lot of them personally. It's time to call them in and stare them down. Tell them they just can't continue to raise these prices and record these record-breaking profits for their oil companies at the expense of the American economy. We have a lot of things at stake here: the future of farmers, the future of a lot of small businesses, and jobs in our future. And if these companies insist on these obscene levels of profit-taking, to give the former CEO of ExxonMobil a $400 million farewell gift as he leaves just shows you that this is out of hand.
If oil companies are unwilling to reduce prices voluntarily, Durbin says Congress should pass a windfall profits tax on oil companies. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he'll ask USDA to allow packers to test cattle for BSE. USDA prohibits the practice. Grassley says if a packer wants to test for mad cow disease, it should be able to do so without having to fight USDA on the issue. Creekstone Farms has filed a lawsuit against USDA after the agency threatened prosecution if the company tested cattle for BSE. USDA is sending a high-level delegation to China in mid-May to discuss opening that nation's border to U.S. beef. China agreed on April 11th to begin buying U.S. beef, but the announcement was devoid of details on what cuts of beef the PRC would accept and how soon. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, April is Soy Foods Month. You've no doubt heard soy is good for you, but probably don't know how to include it in your daily diet. We'll visit a soy foods tasting party at the University of Illinois and tell you about a series of cookbooks for your home. What a feast, and everything includes a little soy. Oh, sure, there's a little tofu here, but there's much more than that from the protein-rich soybean U.S. farmers grow and harvest each season. This table at a recent University of Illinois soy foods tasting party is spread with foods wide and varied. It's proof that the soybean is not only good for you, but it's also easy to use in the kitchen, says Pradeep Khanna, Associate Director of the National Soybean Research Lab, located on the U of I's Urbana-Champaign campus.
Why put soy in your diet? Because this is the best, easiest, and the lowest cost way of improving the protein quality of your diet, because soy has all essential amino acids required by our body in the right proportion. It's also a good way of dealing with certain health problems that are fairly prevalent in our society, like cholesterol. And then there are a whole lot of other health benefits associated with soy. So if you add small quantities of soy in your diet on a regular basis, you can be a healthier person.
Healthier and fed with great-tasting foods made with the soybean. All the recipes used for the U of I's Soy Foods Tasting Party can be found in an easy-to-use and understand Soy in the American Kitchen series of cookbooks. It's available almost everywhere around the nation.
Yeah, we started this cookbook series about 3 years back, and we have published 4 books in that. The purpose was to teach Americans who love to cook at home how they can add soy to their diet without changing its taste, flavor, or the method in which the food is cooked. So all they have to do is to get a couple of soy ingredients and put them in their pantry as regular products.
Around the World with Soy is the 5th in the Soy in the American Kitchen cookbook series and includes Marilyn Nash's favorite recipe.
The Jamaican jerk burgers, definitely. And it's one of my family favorites, which is why I think we try to make it at home quite a bit. I've done the recipe at home when I haven't had the TVP available with just ground beef, and it just never is quite as good as with the TVP. There's just the textured vegetable protein holds on to some of those flavors in a different way, gives it a real zing that everybody seems to like.
Nash works for the University of Illinois and hosted the Soy Foods Tasting Party. You can find more on the soy in the American Kitchen series of cookbooks and how to make foods enhanced with soy at www.soyfoodsillinois.uiuc.edu. The faculty and staff, by the way, at the U of I are currently working to develop recipes for the sixth book in the series. It will be targeted to restaurants and schools. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, did you hear Pradeep Khanna say that protein in the soybean contains all of the essential amino acids? Can you name them? I can. Private Matt Hill learned that back in 1983 when I was in college. Private Matt Hill, PVT, phthalein, valine, threonine, MAT, methionine, acetane, and tryptophan, Hill, histine, leucine, and lysine, the 10th essential amino acids, the building blocks of our bodies. Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
Hi to you too, Todd.
Oh, the things you remember over time. To reach back in my mind for that one, I can't believe I came up with all 10 of those. But
you're a hard act to follow.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just a hard act. How about that? Hey, speaking of hard acts, tell me about the cash grain market in your area.
It is so quiet. You know, I mean, I put a newsletter out to our local farmers on DTN every day, and there just really wasn't anything to say. We saw both sides trade today, and we've got a little technical strength in the beans, and they kind of sold them off a little bit today, but very little farmers selling. They're trying to get in the field. We're so far behind here. The basis has improved a little bit, but other than that, Todd, it's extremely quiet here in Terre Haute.
So they're not in the field yet. They have prospects to get in the next day and a half?
Hopefully. There was a gentleman in here this morning from the Brazil area, which is east of here, and all he's done is put on a little anhydrous. He's hoping maybe they can plant a little bit maybe tomorrow or Thursday. But east of here, north of here, they're extremely wet. Over in Illinois, they're making some strides over there, but I doubt if we're even 10% here, Todd.
That's and I imagine they're starting to get worried in your area then.
Very much so. They're very concerned about this weather, and we kind of lucked out on this last rain. We only had about a tenth and a half to maybe a quarter of an inch, but it's turned cool and still going to be just really slow drying, so we've still got a ways to go before we can really, really get out there in earnest.
Well, let's hope we get a little heat and a little sunshine, and we'll get them in the field. Tell me about the basis going to the southeast.
The basis is improving a little bit, not greatly, but we've improved our corn basis about 3 cents this week and 3 or 4 in beans, and it continues to improve just a little bit. As long as they're in the field, that probably will continue. And then once we start seeing stuff move out of the country, then it'll probably go the other way. But other than that, it's going to be pretty quiet, I think, for a while until we really get something to sink our teeth into.
And your bids for the day are?
All right, a cash corn today is 216, beans are 559, and wheat is 319 today.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The FBI says a sixth suspect has been arrested in Monday's robbery at a credit union in Rantoul. The Bureau's Springfield office's Tyron Thomas was arrested this morning in Kankakee. He's the last of the men that authorities say robbed the Community Plus Federal Credit Union in Rantoul late Monday afternoon. All six suspects are from Kankakee. They're being held on federal charges of armed robbery and carrying a firearm during a crime of violence. State Comptroller Dan Hine says he hopes public outcry over the conviction of former Governor George Ryan will spur lawmakers to act on his ethics reform package. Hines visited the Champaign County Courthouse in Urbana this morning to promote his ethics proposals. The legislation would ban political contributions from companies that win $25,000 or more in state contracts. It would also use a new public fund to finance Supreme Court races and toughen up disclosure rules for state lobbyists. Defense attorneys for George Ryan aren't going to be able to interview two jurors who served at his racketeering and fraud trial. U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer today said she doesn't think there's any basis to permit such an inquiry because neither woman was on the final version of the jury that convicted Ryan. An Illinois transportation spokesman says soaring oil prices and intense demand for construction materials could put a crimp in Illinois' road building projects. Matt Vanover of IDOT says if prices for oil and asphalt continue to rise, some projects could be delayed. Officials say the executive director of the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute has been placed on paid administrative leave pending a review by the state inspector general. The governor's office made the announcement but didn't release any other details. Some tulip poplar trees from an Indiana state forest will be used as lumber to help rebuild a covered bridge in Park County that an arsonist destroyed last year. The 245-foot-long span in Bridgeton was erected in 1868 but was burned down in April. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by the senior meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated, Drew Lerner. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, they'd like a little sunshine, a little heat maybe here in the Midwest. Is that possible over the next few days in parts of the area?
Well, maybe parts, but the majority will probably not see any extended period of warm, dry weather. We do have a large storm system that is coming in our direction from the southwest. It will generate widespread rainfall beginning this weekend. So for the next couple of days, we'll be trending in the right direction. We'll see some sunshine and some warmer temperatures. And it's probably a good time to get out and work those fields as aggressively as we can, because with the rain event that's coming up here for this weekend, it's probably going to be a slow mover. It's also going to be a soaker, and it may be a while before we can get back at it. Looks like the rainfall amounts could run anywhere from about 3/4 of an inch to more than 2 inches across the region, and Kansas, Missouri, and Illinois look like they'll be targeted for the most significant amount of precipitation. It will turn cooler next week behind this storm system, so evaporation rates will be a bit slower, but we are looking for a little bit of sunshine next week. There will probably be a quick cool front about midweek next week that will cut through the nation again and set off a few showers. Now, I don't think there's going to be a lot of moisture to work with, but the odds are pretty good that cooler than usual conditions will continue on into the end of next week. So this warmer weather that we see over the next couple of days may be it for a while, and certainly the best planting conditions will be with us over the next 48 hours.
And then if you turn your attention to the Great Plains in the southwestern part of the United States, will they pick up any rainfall?
They will. It looks like most of hard red wheat country, about 85% of the region, will likely pick up on some rainfall as we go through a little late tomorrow night into Saturday. And I think we'll pick up 3/10 of an inch to an inch of rain in much of that region. This precipitation will be very important, not only because of the dryness that's been out there for a while, but now that we've had a freeze overnight last night, some of these injured crops would definitely benefit from a period of rainy and cool weather, and that's exactly what's scheduled for the region. So those crops that weren't permanently hurt last night will likely have an opportunity to recover a little bit before we get back into any kind of warmer than usual condition.
Tell me about that freeze, where it was and how widespread.
The freezes were common across the western portion of Kansas, eastern Colorado, and much of Nebraska's production region. The areas that were damaged most likely, at least, were to the west of a line running from Liberal, Kansas, to just to the west of Garden City, Kansas, to east of Hill City, Kansas, and then on up into Nebraska. We did see temperatures in the lower to middle 20s in some of the northwestern counties of Kansas, but most of the fields that had booted or at least reached maybe the early stages of heading were limited to southwestern and some central and north central sections of Kansas, and only a small percentage of the crop had actually reached the heading stage in these areas. But the booted crop certainly experienced temperatures below 28 degrees for more than a couple of hours, and that's certainly below the threshold for some kind of damage. So we are expecting a little bit of loss. I don't think it's going to be widespread and real substantial, but you put that on top of the drought losses we've already encountered, and maybe it becomes a little more significant.
Adds insult to injury. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Tuesday after, or rather Wednesday afternoons. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.